Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jimmy, you've made it very plain. We all should know by now. He is not having any of these video bombs. Not having it. You made it very plain that you don't care what happens as long as it's a win. Is it any more savory?
Go to the locker room, man. Go to the locker room. Great game. Go to the locker, please. We got another one tomorrow.
What is it that you don't enjoy about the video bombs?
Huh? It's not about them right now. It's about me.
Pretty good.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. That is David's guy,
Jimmy loves some Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we want to thank everyone, including Jimmy, for calling and texting and emailing and all the wonderful ways.
Thank you for listening.
That means a lot to us. Thank you for that. And thanks to all our Chicago teams for giving us plenty to talk about and bringing out their mascots today, too. And everyone here and all of our support staff.
If they're not going to bring out their best, they can bring out their mascots. So,
and we'd like to thank Dustin.
Magnifico!
He's our executive producer. He's out here. He was here when I got here very early. And of course, Kevbo.
It's not about them right now. It's about me.
And our guy Studs was here helping out with
Wow.
And the Southpaw was asking after you. I don't know if that means anything. And now is the time of the program. Dave, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yes.
Dave kept us on the air, for God's sake.
We weren't locked out. We were all set up. Things went smoothly for the most part.
Yes, and all of the support staff, everybody from you know, Ryan, all the people from promotions, of the people, sales, and it's a lot of fun. And now we would like to welcome in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight.
What's up, guys?
Happy Duncan Bears Friday. It sounds like you guys have been enjoying yourselves amid all the mascots. That photo that Mitch took
it's great.
Of the mascot vans all sort of parked out there. There's something just kind of surreal about that.
Oddly, the Bears van was stuck in reverse.
Hi!
Oh, God. Staley's coming over. It did not go over well. Who is your favorite mascot, guys? Who would you, if you had a
Jose
one?
Altuve.
Altuve is a wonderful mascot.
Southpaw and I had a good relationship while I was down there on the south side. A good working relationship, you know, nothing intimate, but a good relationship. I have to say that.
Chris Ronji.
Yeah. No. Well, he and Southpaw had an actual.
That
I mean, was that
was intimate.
It really was. It was a truly loving and caring relationship between Chris Ronji and Southpaw.
Well, my guy was Dave Raymond, who was the Philly fanatic. I mean, and I'm lucky enough, having worked in minor league pro sports long enough, to have been on the circuit for so many of these mascots that came through. That's how they made a lot of money. The name
he's
mascots.
Not here, Dan.
Well,
he's not.
Sorry. No. But see, here's the thing, though. But Dave Raymond, we actually had him on the show. He has put together, and he's been the force behind the Mascot Hall of Fame in Indiana, and any one of those, be it Staley, be it Tommy Hawk, be it Clark, you're looking at, you know, they're in it to win it now. There's a pot of gold at the end of the mascot rainbow that they could be enshrined now.
I'm a Benny guy. I had a good experience, bad experience with Benny. It was a meaningful experience. I was on Deadline one night. This is probably 8 to 10 years ago. I don't know when it was. And so you know how he has the bit with the popcorn.
Yeah,
it gets me every time.
It's a great bit.
And he came over and he poured popcorn on me on Deadline. I just kept working because I had the deadline to meet. And the Bulls PR, to their credit, they felt bad about it. They apologized to me. The next time I went back to a Bulls game, at my spot, I had an autographed photo of Benny the Bull.
Oh,
with
nice.
An apology. So Benny left a mark. Thank you, Benny.
Well,
I love you.
That is beautiful. That's
He's a
beautiful
good teammate.
Yeah, I got.
Why can't we all get along?
I know.
I got really, really drunk with the Philly fanatic one night in Omaha, Nebraska, and we ended up.
What's his drink of choice, by the way? The Philly fanatics.
Everything, okay. And then on the same on the.
What was the Philly fanatic in the news for recently? Isn't there something going on, like some kind of a?
Well, it's not.
Was it a rights thing?
It's not Dave anymore. He handed over the character to his longtime assistant, who I think is now the fanatic. But yeah, I don't. There was apparently something, some legal issue.
Yeah, there's a. This is from Sports Illustrated. Back when it was Sports Illustrated, a new federal lawsuit leaves the Fanatics' future with the actual team in doubt. The club is suing a group of defendants who say they are the rightful creators of the Fanatic.
Yes.
And who they're basically holding the creation rights of the Fanatic up against the Phillies for millions of dollars. They're blackmailing the actual team for their own mascot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dan, has laws like the United States.
It's a good racket.
When you say you were overserved with the Philly Fanatic.
Not by the Philly Fanatic. Yeah.
No. Well, but I'm saying you were with the Philly Fanatic. When I hear that story, I immediately think of the Philly Fanatic in full regard.
Of course. It's funnier that way. Yes.
Yeah, but is, I mean, was the Fanatic like sucking a straw into the outfit, or did that work?
The whole outfit, head?
That's when I first saw his famous bit that he did. This was at Exarban Arena in Omaha. And it was the Lightning against the Racers, and he invented this bit where his buddy would come out in dressed as a referee, and fans don't really notice who the referees are at a basketball game. And he had an actual league referee uniform, and so when the bit begins, you don't realize he's not doing this to one of the actual referees. And you can't believe it because he's like molesting him and eventually pulls his pants down and the whole thing. You're like, oh my God, what is he doing? And it's only after like, oh yeah, that's a plant. That's his guy. And that and other mascots have kind of picked up on that, and they just start doing a similar bit with guys dressed as umpires or referees, etc.
I think I've told this story before, but when I was in college, we had Bo Rambler. And Bo Rambler was like this really kind of, it was supposed to be a hobo, but it was this kind of rusty suit. And the guy who was Bo Rambler was on the track team. And he had gotten jumped by Billy Blue Demon the year before. So
you don't want to mess with Billy Blue Demon.
So he wanted to get back at Billy Blue Demon. Yeah. So he was working out. He was lifting. He was doing everything you could think of. and Loyola plays DePaul. And Billy Blue Demon is there, and Bo Rambler walks out. He had a suitcase, and he opens up the suitcase. He's got a giant boxing glove. He puts it on, and he's challenging Billy Blue Demon, who is like trying to do like Marcus Aquino.
Wop, 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 wop.
Next thing you know, he hits the thing, and he knocks him down, throws off the glove, pulls up the mask, and is punching him in the face. I mean, this was on, I believe, Channel 9.
Good Lord.
And they were like, oh, they're the mascots. They're having some fun. And then someone says, like, hey, that looks pretty serious.
He broke windows.
He pummeled him. It was
really
unbelievable. I swear to God. He could have been arrested. He hit him so hard, so often.
Have any of you guys ever covered a home Stanford football game?
Yes,
with the trees.
There's multiple trees.
Yeah. Every year, I was there. Tree tryouts.
I was there in 2007. It was the week after Harbaugh's Stanford team had upset USC as 40-point underdogs. It was the Tevita Pritchard game. I'm sure you all remember.
Well, of course,
It was the Tevita. So I'm there, and they're just getting the whole Stanford football thing back. But the student, and I didn't realize this at the time, but the student band organizes this whole thing. They had just famously loaded for every game,
and
they're too smart for their own good, and they're out there dressed like the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but marching these incredibly precise routes while making it look horrible. Meanwhile, there are like three different mascots of Stanford trees out there, each one of them drunker than the next and dressed up in God knows what. They've all got like themes to the tree and sort of thing. One of them, I'm on the sideline for this game. I think they were playing Cal or something like that. And one of the trees just tips over into the field of play at like the 15-yard line during like a TV timeout
score
or something.
House.
it was the Connor McKnight tree. Yeah.
And you can kind of relate to that, huh, Connor?
And the play, been there. And the play is all at the other end of the field. I think somebody was in the red zone, and the tree's the 15-yard line on the other side. And there are like three plays that get run while this tree is passed out in the middle of the field. The other two trees come over and drag the third tree off.
Come get your mans. Yeah, the great thing
you
about
never saw him the rest of the game.
Yeah, the Stanford tree is the mascot that makes fun of mascots.
Yes,
it's a meta mascot in that they're sort of standing on its head. The whole idea of having something representative in a costume, and it's really brilliant in that way. Whether or not people get it, I don't know. But one year when there was an NCAA tournament sub-regional that was here, and I was infatuated with the idea of the Stanford tree, and we had the tree on the show to talk about how it all works, and you're allowed to interpret the idea of the Stanford tree as you see fit, and people will show up at tryouts with various interpretations of what it is and what it means. It's brilliant.
The funniest, the Stanford band, you remember when Ronald Reagan was president, he had colon surgery. So they came out and they marched down the field as two giant, like, period. It's a colon.
Yeah.
And then one of them turned into a comma. It was semicolon. He'd had the operation while they played Hell to the Chief. Absolutely fall down
that's
hilarious.
Level stuff for
oh,
a band.
It's yeah, unbelievable.
That's really good.
What next level stuff have you today, gentlemen?
Oh, you don't even want to know. It's so great. We've got an existential football question to ask early on.
Yeah, we're going level 202 with our football question.
I guess. Okay.
That'll take us into a discussion with Herman Moore, who we've rearranged some things to finally find the time that works for everybody. 9:40. He's going to join us. Hub takes calls at 10, midday, midway at 10:40. A big college football weekend.
Oh boy.
So Pete Futak is going to be on at 11. And we're all things to all people.
All right, guys.
Have
enjoy.
Good weekend, guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.